Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me." In the name of Jesus. This is the fourth of the I am statements of Jesus in the Gospel of John, the good shepherd I am statement. And of course, as typical as things were going for Jesus, this eventually causes a division among the people. They don't like him talking about the hired hand, who is not a shepherd. And that's because the hired hand doesn't lay down his life for the sheep. And as soon as the wolves come, they scurry off. They let the wolves in to devour the sheep. And that shows in truth that they care nothing for the sheep, but not Jesus. He is the good shepherd because he doesn't leave the sheep. He lays down his life for them. He knows his own, and his own knows him. The next comment that Jesus makes really irks them. It is where he says that he has other sheep that he will bring in instead of them. And that is because they will listen to his voice. Jesus has authority to do this. His authority is being put into question, is what is really going on. And when you question Jesus' authority, you end up sounding and acting like someone who only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. As they then acted against Jesus, saying, "He has a demon, he is insane, and why listen to him?" Appropriately, though, others speak up against him. And they say, like, "Excuse me, his words are not the words of one who is possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" No, it is only demons who are insane and blind to the words of Jesus. So next, we are told what time of year it is. It is winter. And Jesus, as a Jew who follows the tradition of the Jews, is going to the temple for the annual feast of dedication. Now, what that also is known as is the Festival of Lights, or Hanukkah. Yes, Jesus celebrated Hanukkah. And mind you that Jesus' second I am statement is the one that goes, "I am the light of the world." But therefore, Jesus going to the Feast of Lights fulfills that feast. But when Jesus had told them before, "I am the light of the world," the Pharisees told him, "You are bearing witness about yourself, and your testimony is not true." No coincidence here and now that the people are gathering around him in Solomon's porch. Solomon's porch, or portico, or colonnade, you might know it as one of those, they're all the same. But that is what you have to pass through on the way to the court of the Gentiles. Remember, Jesus had said, "I have sheep, none of this fold. I have to bring them in also." And all this talk and action of Jesus gets suspenseful. They want Jesus to speak plainly. They just don't get it. Or do they? They ask, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." See, they didn't want him to admit to them that he was the Christ so that they could believe in him and worship him. They wanted him to claim that in public so that they could arrest him for calling himself the Anointed One of God, the Messiah. They wanted to throw him off Solomon's porch, just like they tried to throw him off a cliff once before when Jesus was preaching in his hometown. And just like the time in the hometown Jesus was preaching, he was reading the Isaiah scroll. And then he, as if he drops the mic, says, "This is all about me." He closes that scroll, and then bam, they try to seize him that they might destroy him. Same thing going on here. Here's something remarkable about this text that needs to be brought out, and it's about the people's feelings. In the original manuscript, John has more words written than just "how long will you keep us in suspense." I think the English translators somehow expect you to know what is all entailed in the word suspense. But suspense comes from the word suspend, to hang above, to dangle. But in our reading, it's missing the word psyche, the word for the inner self, literally the soul, the mind, will, and emotions. For John writes, "How long will you hold us in suspense? The souls of us are psyche. How long must it be suspended, raised up?" And the word there for raised up is aerial. It's where we get the word aerobics from. You know, when you're doing aerobics and your heart rate goes up, your blood pressure is raised. And that's what happens when your psyche, your inner self, gets antsy, gets suspenseful. Your heart beats faster. You can't take it anymore in your mind. And that, folks, is dangerous. But Jesus responds, calm down, breathe. I told you before and you do not believe. Well, wait a minute, you never told us that you're the Christ. You just keep saying these I am things. Bread, light, doors, and good shepherd names. We want you to say it Christ for Christ's sake. That's what's really going on here. To that, Jesus tells them, you've seen my works. Actions speak louder than words here. And I do those in my Father's name. And that right there is saying plainly who he is. But you guys don't believe it because you are not counted among my sheep. Now see what happens when false teachers reduce the gospel. Just like the He Gets Us movement, those commercials on TV you've probably all heard and seen. Because where have you ever seen them use that line? You are not among my sheep. And then the screen fades out. He gets us. Yes, he does. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. I will give them eternal life and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. See, it's as if you could picture Jesus just saying, here they are. You want them? Come and take them. Oh, psych. Remember, guys, when we were young, we used to do that with our greased hair. Say, give me five. Whoop, psych. This is the give me five. But picture Jesus not letting them snatch them. He's messing with their psyche. You cannot snatch them because they will not be snatched. Not ever. Not from my hand and not from my Father's hand either. For we are one. How's that for suspense? How's your heartbeat now? How do you like me now? The very next verse at the end of this reading says they picked up stones to stone him again. But Jesus will lay his life down at a later date, not today. For he has some more I am statements and work to do. He will raise Lazarus from the dead and proclaim I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who believes in me shall never die. Do you believe? He was asking Martha a question then, and Martha answers, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ. How about that? Her soul and psyche that day were lifted up for sure. Jesus will also say that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And after that, then the I am, the true vine, which that saying is directly tied to this is the true blood. Let's get back to the Good Shepherd now. You see, when Jesus, the son of Mary, has a little lamb that can't be snatched out of his hand, its fleece becomes white as snow. And everywhere Jesus goes, the lamb is sure to go. The children laugh and play. See, their blood pressure isn't high, and that's why you must become like a little child. It is the teachers of the law that drive and want to drive the lamb out. But nope, it still stayed near. It waited and waits, just like you now, for Jesus to appear. Round about until Jesus appears. And why does the lamb love Jesus so? Why do the children cry? Because Jesus lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus is the good shepherd. And now Jesus is no longer keeping you in suspense. He and the Father are one. So if you can't be snatched from Jesus, then you can't be snatched from the Father either. Their hands are one. Once again, let me tell you that Jesus keeps the nail marks in his hands. It is proof that the evil foe once tried to snatch you out of his hands. There was a battle there. But then, when they were pierced, you were still in the palm of his hands. And he keeps those marks to show you that he is the good shepherd. How by the cross and through the cross, even then, when he laid down his life, he was holding you. He was holding all your doubt, all your unbelief, all your blood pressure medication, all your blood clots, he thinned out by his blood shed for you. So if you are the Christ, tell us plainly, okay, I will. Take and eat. Take and drink. This is the true body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ given for you. And folks, it is not winter anymore. It is spring and summer is almost here. And it is a day that we remember who gave birth to us, our mother. And likewise, another mother, the church, gave birth to you as well, your second birth. So birth and being birth is what today is all about. No more suspense. As the infant in the womb knows their mother's voice and clings to it, so too the children of God know the Good Shepherd and the Father's voice, and they listen and they cling to it, so that there will be one flock and one shepherd. When Jesus later tells about the separation of the sheep and the goats, he will say to his sheep, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." That is good shepherd speech. It is not a psych out. It's a call out by the Good Shepherd. A call out for you. So today, on this blessed day of remembering births, you are no longer kept in suspense, but you are kept among the sheep. In the name of Jesus. Amen.